It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not looking great right now, but there's still six outs to go for the Gardos, so we'll see what they do there. But the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Jonathan Peterlin comes your way this Sunday, live from the Neon Room at MGM Northfield Park. Again, this Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Daryl Ryder will join the show starting at 10:30 with all the latest updates on the team, injury updates, and more. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns. 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. So, yeah, the Browns still stink, but we got the guy that's going to help us put it in proper perspective here, because on the line, usually Tuesdays at 5:20 today, we get a hump day Albert Breer on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline of the MMQB. Albert, welcome back to the show, bud.
I'll give you guys the truth now if you want it, which is that I was coaching fourth grade football, and our practice got moved from Wednesday to Tuesday this week. So we were in individuals when you guys called yesterday, which is like, oh, God, I totally forgot. So
how'd
that's
the team
my
look?
Bad. Oh, we're looking good, man. I'm running the defense. We haven't allowed a point in 3 weeks, so that's pretty good.
Damn right. That's see, yeah, now I can't be mad at it.
You know what's amazing? You know what's amazing about it? And it's such a great experience. And, you know, like, it's amazing how stuff comes back to you. Because as you guys know, like, covering football isn't anywhere close to the same thing as this stuff. But, like, a lot of this stuff from high school came back to me, like, right away. And we're actually running my high school defense. And it still works. So shout out to Coach Lopez and the Lincoln Sudbury staff, because your defense has stood the test of time.
Defense wins championships. Albert, are the Browns' chances of being a playoff team over?
It's going to be tough at 1-4, and I just, it's hard to see the signs for hope, guys. I mean, I know Jed Wills back in there. Conklin wasn't. You know, so you're still kind of waiting to see what it looks like with a full offensive line out there. But, you know, it's painful to watch what they look like in the passing game right now. The run game isn't the same as it has been. Now, in fairness, again, the offensive line's banged up and Nick Chubb's still not out there. But, you know, and the defense isn't quite what it was last year. So, you know, it's, you know, sometimes you look at these situations, like Cincinnati's 1-4 also, right? So, like, you look at the Bengals and it's, at least you can see it. You know what I mean? Like, you watch the Bengals, it's like, okay, so if they can rush the passer better, if, you know, a couple of their young corners can come along, then they really have something. And it's very easy to see the Bengals catching fire with how Burrow and Chase and all those guys are playing on offense, right? But you, how, what's the path here for the Browns?
Yeah, it doesn't really exist. And that's why it's tough. And I read an article earlier today about the Rams. It's like, oh, should we have a fire sale and do all this? And I'm like, it doesn't all that apply to the Browns right here, Albert? Should we be talking more fire sale? What does that look like for this team?
Well, I mean, I think the Browns are a team that, you know, if you're them, I think you wait. You know, you wait another 3 weeks and you see where it goes before the trade deadline. Because it does look bleak now, but you want to give the team a chance to fight its way out of this. Now, you know, if you're 1-7, 2-7, you know, 1-8, whatever it is at the trade deadline, I think, I want to say they'll have played 9 games at the trade deadline. I might be wrong about that. But, you know, if you're there, then I think you definitely have to think about it. And, you know, like, then you're thinking about, okay, who's not going to be here next year? And, you know, I think the obvious first name to start with would be Amari Cooper. And if it doesn't look like you're going to be able to hammer out a long-term agreement with him, like he would be somebody who'd be of value to other teams. You know, elsewhere in the roster, I'm sure you could find some other names. Again, I don't have it right in front of me right now, but you know, I don't know if you'd go through a fire sale because you've got some really good core players there. But you know, if there are guys in contract years that you don't think are going to be around anymore, I certainly think you look at the idea of moving them if things don't get better in the next few weeks.
Albert Breer on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So one thought with Kevin Stefanski is that not only did he not have any say in bringing Deshaun Watson here, but now he doesn't have a say in whether to bench Deshaun or not. Is, if that last line is true, is it an anomaly in the NFL if Kevin doesn't have the power to bench Deshaun Watson?
No, because I think like these quarterback decisions are always involving people above, you know, and I know at the very least in a lot of cases they'd have to clear it with the owner, you know, especially when there's an investment at the level, there's an investment here. So quarterback's sort of separate. They're like golfers, you know what I mean? Like they're sort of individual entities into them onto themselves. And, you know, like they, I think, you know, if you're talking about making a big box decision with somebody like that, that could affect the franchise for the next couple of years, you're not making it on your own if you're the head coach. Now you might have the final hammer, but you're not making that decision without clearing it with ownership, without working with your front office on it, all that different stuff, because there are implications, you know. And I actually looked it up today, and I mean the amount of money that is left on the contract the next 2 years, the amount of cap charges they'd have to deal with is astronomical. We all know the $92 million number, the $92 million in guaranteed money he's owed over the next 2 years. You guys understand, like, there's $172 million in cap charges left after this year. So that means that their salary cap, they're going to have to, if they were to get rid of him after this year, they would have to account for $172 million in cap charges. I mean, that is just, I don't know how you do that. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you're talking about, you'll be the great majority of your salary cap in a single year, or like a high percentage of your salary cap if you split it up into 2 years. So, I mean, you're really kind of over, you know, you're between a rock and a hard place in this one. And, you know, I think that's why it's, in all likelihood, he's going to be the quarterback in 2025. And if, you know, there is, you know, an early exit, it would be after next year, not after this year.
Yeah, Albert, I want to ask you about it because we remember the Brock Osweiler deal where you traded for picks. You took the contract and you traded for picks. Is that something that you think another team would be interested in, taking on that massive Deshaun Watson contract? We get clean of it, and then I don't know what the compensation even looks like to you in that regard. Maybe we can play around with that as well.
I guess what you're saying, right, is that you would be trading him with like a one or a two for like a seven, right? Like that sort of deal. I mean, maybe. At that point, so, I mean, you do mitigate a lot of the costs then. I think you probably have to eat some money too. I don't know who is going to be in the market to pay him $45 million a year for the next 2 years. So you may have to eat some of the money too. You could do it creatively like that. And look, it's not over for him either. I mean, I think they're going to give him time to show that he can play his way out of this, even if it's not the best thing for the team, which is a risky play, but I think that's the way it's going to go down. It's just, I don't know, guys. I mean, you've watched him, right? Like, and I thought the world of Deshaun as a player in 2019, even 2020, when they weren't very good. He played his ass off, and it's just, it's hard because you look at it, and it's like, is that guy gone now, you know? The instincts, the football IQ, all that stuff. You talk to the people who are in Houston with him, like, it's like that guy is gone. You know, like they don't understand what happened, where the guy that they coached back then is not here anymore, you know. And I think it's something I think that requires, you know, people in that building having very hard conversations with Deshaun. And, you know, the reality is, if you want to go back in time, like I know Bill O'Brien and his staff in Houston had like that tough love relationship with Deshaun. I don't know if anybody's having that sort of relationship with him right now, but It certainly seems like there need to be some very hard conversations about where he's at with a player and those conversations have to happen directly with him, not with other people.
Albert, Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, coming off the playoff run last year, got contract extensions, but we know with Jimmy Haslam, sometimes those can be more of a paper thing, maybe, you know, a couple years paid leave, however you want to say it. Is there any scenario that you think, whether it's in season or going into next year, where the Browns choose Deshaun over Kevin Stefanski?
I mean, things would have to be really bad. I don't know. I doubt it. I mean, I do think, like, you know, this is my personal opinion. I think Jimmy believes in the structure he's put in place. I think he believes in Andrew Berry. I think he believes in Kevin Stefanski. I think he believes in Paul DePodesta and the way that place is set up, you know. And, you know, in his defense, they've made the playoffs twice, you know, in the last 4 years. And Kevin's won Coach of the Year twice. And that's amid all of this, you know, like that's amid the Deshaun situation, which completely destroyed any chance they had of being competitive in 2022. And, you know, last year they managed him being out, you know, and winning with five different quarterbacks. So, I mean, I guess it's like, well, other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln, yeah, type of situation? You know what I mean? Like, but I mean, like, they've done a lot of the other things right. They've gotten a lot of the other things, and right across the board, you know? I can't think of too many personnel decisions they've really screwed up outside of, again, the biggest one you could possibly make. So, that's what's tricky about it, but I wouldn't sit here and tell you because ownership was so involved in the Watson thing. I wouldn't sit here and tell you that they think any less of Andrew Berry or Kevin Stefanski than they did a couple of years ago.
Ross Tucker, we had him on at 4 o'clock. He said he still thinks Stefanski and Andrew Berry are a top 10 GM head coach combo. Yeah. Do you believe that to be true?
I mean, I have to, like, you know, I'd have to sit down and make a list, but I think very highly of them too. You know, I think they're really good. You know, I think Kevin is logical, incredibly intelligent tactician and team builder. And I think he's got a really good way about him. I think he's good for that market too. Like, that's an intense football market that you guys are in. It's the type of place where every play is going to be broken down the way that, you know, one in the Super Bowl might be broken down in another market. And so I think it takes a certain type of person to thrive in that market. I think Kevin's got it. You know, and I think Andrew's one of the top, you know, executives, and not even young executives, just one of the top executives in football. So I don't know. I don't know how I'd rank my top 10, but I certainly, but AB and Kevin would certainly be in the mix.
Is Zach Taylor on the hot seat in Cincinnati?
No, I think all you have to do is look at the history of that organization. You know, just go back and look at how patient they've been with coaches, how patient they were with Marvin Lewis. And Marvin Lewis never had the success that Zach Taylor had, you know, in 2021 and 2022, which was consecutive AFC championship games in the Super Bowl. And, you know, if they get a block on Aaron Donald, then that ball is going downfield to Ja'Marr Chase, and they're world champions for the first time. So, you know, I think that this is sort of a transition period for the Bengals, where it's, you know, going from having a quarterback on a rookie contract to having him on a outsized contract. Now you got to pay Ja'Marr Chase too. And so the structure of the team is going to be a little bit different. They've gotten a little older on defense. I think that's hurt them. But I think they're going to be in the mix this year. Like, I know they're 1-4, and that's a tough hole to dig out of, but I think they're going to be just fine.
Albert, I'm calling it the NIL Bowl. It's Oregon, and it's your Buckeyes. Is Ohio State winning this one against Dylan Gabriel?
Well, what is that supposed to mean? I mean, I've been accused by Michigan people of buying a team, which is kind of interesting. Like, if you want to talk about glass houses and the people who live in them.
Well, I spent a lot of money this offseason. And so did Oregon, too, though.
Yeah.
So did Oregon.
Right, right. Which is, like, I'm okay with being the Yankees of college football, if that's what you're asking me. I'm totally fine with it. It's much better than the alternative. And not
Albert,
that being
I'm,
one of these
I'm teams. Just disgusted you didn't do it years ago is the problem.
I know. Well, we're all in now. I don't know. I feel good about the game. Like, it's just, like, the one thing that's weird, like, I've had this conversation with a couple of people who root for teams that have already had big games this year. It just doesn't feel like, I don't know, I'm sure I'll feel differently when the game starts, you know? But like these were such like zero sum games, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Over the years in college football, it's like weird that like if we win, then great. But then we'll probably see them again in the Big Ten title game. And if we lose, that's like okay too. It's just a weird thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. You could potentially see them three times this year.
And part of that is like, I mean, look, like how many big games has Ohio State played against Big Ten West teams over the last decade? It was almost never that you were going to see the second best team in the Big Ten in the Big Ten title game. I don't think it ever happened, right? Like where you thought like the second best team in the Big Ten, okay, we beat them in the regular season, or see them again in the title game. Because the second best team was almost always in the Big Ten East, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a different dynamic. I'd like to say I'm confident. Hopefully we start a little bit faster than we did the last couple of weeks. But I think if you look at the way they played in the second half, it's all there. What do you guys think?
I'm confident. I think Oregon's a little bit more of a paper tiger than Ohio State is. I think it's going to be Ohio State. It'll be close, but I think I'm going to take Ohio State.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel, yeah. The red zone interceptions and the two he had against Michigan State, I just can't get over. I think Ohio State's got the better team.
Yeah, me too. We'll see what happens.
Albert, good luck to the fourth grade team there, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks. I'll let them know they have your support.
It's the Cleveland support, the Nick and JP. That's unless you're the Guardians, that's how you win championships. Be good, bud.
Thanks, guys.
Albert Breer there in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to several of his answers next on 92.3 The Fan.
I did all I had to do, and then I ponied up the money. I made every owner in the league mad at the amount of guaranteed money I gave them, and we got nothing to show for it. And I trusted you guys, and I trusted your input on everything else, and we got nothing. I need to go scorched earth. Like that to me seems like the expected result out of someone like Haslam, who historically has shown us that he is very reactionary and he is very swift with his changes, and I just don't know that he's going to be able to see it through.
And I think it's just I get it. Billionaires are smart because they're billionaires. Oh yeah. Okay. They're also just like you and me when it comes. Billionaires are fish out of water when it comes to football. And so I hate this idea of, well, you know, the last 4 years have been better. This is not where Barry and Stefanski started. They started with a quarterback thing being answered. They started with a roster full of guys like Miles and Denzel and Betonio and Wyatt Teller. And so the fact that they've made, you know, the playoffs 2 out of 4 years, yeah, okay, that was the expectation. That was the bare minimum.
It's a great point. People act like they built this whole entire thing, and they did. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of this was John Dorsey.
Well, and that doesn't absolve you of failure now. If I was a good husband for the first 4 years of my marriage and then an awful one for that fifth year, it doesn't stave off divorce.
Yeah. Like, right? You gotta stay awesome at this.
And I just think that it's really convenient how everything's set up. And again, listen, we're not there. I'm not suggesting these guys have, you know, the Monstar stole their powers. I'm saying that they might be a little overinflated around football. And I think that people have absolved them of things of which they're involved in.
Well, and again, people just go back to the idea that it's like, oh, but I like Stefanski.
Yeah.
He seems smart. He's got nice degrees.
You know,
and
that's interesting.
I like Andrew Berry.
That's interesting. The fact that it's not whoopity hell makes it harder. Like, because they're smart, because they're Ivy Leaguers, I think that gets you a pass in football from very, very smart people. And again, none of this is saying these guys can't do the job. But to say that they are blameless is ridiculous. And if this season continues on where they are, One, I think you're right. I don't think we can just throw everything out and go, no, they would never. They would, how dare you? This is a different, okay, whatever. Then the second thing is, it should ding them. If last year put them into the top 10 conversation, well, this year should probably drop you out if it continues the way you are, no matter if Jimmy Haslam wants you to do it or not.
Right, and after 5 years with one playoff win, I don't care if it's the best stretch we've had since 1999, anyone in football, 5 years, one playoff win, you probably don't get to keep your job. Nonetheless, be considered in a grouping of the top 10 best in all of the sport.
All right, guys, we do have the Guardians-Tigers game wrapping up here shortly. Fittingly, Austin Hedges is at the plate in a game where the Guardians can't go ahead and hit the broadside of a barn with their bats. But when we come back, we're going to get into this. What sure looks like a loss for the Cleveland Guardians on 90 Guardians. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.